I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday, a happy Tuesday, rather, to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, I'm a couple of days back on that one. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7, rocketmortgage.com. They're home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I had Sunday on the brain because Mraz was talking to me about getting stung by a hornet on Friday, not being able to do a show on Sunday. No, I was able to turn around in 36 hours and compose myself enough to do my show on Sunday. Mraz says he would have been out for a week with a hornet sting. It only kept me out for that night's dinner. It was a rough dinner, though. Real rough.
Yeah. I was sidelined. Couldn't butter just the side of corn that day, D.A.?
Coming up this hour here on the show, we are stunned to a news in 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, how badly will Clemson miss its star wide receiver, Justin Ross? A scary injury and surgery for him. He was phenomenal in the national championship game last year and has been for the Tigers. But let's start with the Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders, as the newly minted Raiders have a significant injury scare as well. Henry Ruggs was their first-round draft pick, wide receiver, out of Alabama. And he suffered a thigh injury yesterday, or at least recently. It came out yesterday. He suffered the injury when moving items into a trailer helping a friend. His dad said, quote, "The trailer just kind of pinned him against a car or a wall or something. He's pretty much okay. I'm about to go out there and see him in a little bit. It was like a little open wound on his leg, a little incision, like something had stuck him right there on his thigh a little bit, perhaps like a hornet." According to a high-ranking Raiders official, the team has been told that the wide receiver will be fine. In a statement, the Raiders said, "We are aware of a report regarding an off-field injury to Henry Ruggs. Respecting Henry's right to medical privacy, the team will not be commenting on the report." Now, he was the 13th pick overall from Alabama, and he figures to be a massive part of what the Raiders are going to try to do here in 2020 and beyond. You know, John Gruden wants a dynamic offense. Seems like everybody in that division is trying to catch up with the Kansas City Chiefs and throw the football and play big through the air. And Ruggs is a phenomenal wide receiver. But it's obviously scary because Ruggs, the number 12 overall pick, and a guy that ran the 40 in 4.27, is the type of athlete where getting pinned against the wall with a trailer is a scary injury, but sounds like it sounds worse than it is, which is a good thing, that Ruggs is going to be okay. And so if you're a Raiders fan, I don't think you have to be too worried about Henry Ruggs. Thankfully, because that sounds like something that could have been way worse than just a cut or a thigh bruise or something like that. The question becomes, how good can the Raiders also be this year? Let's assume that Henry Ruggs is going to be okay, that he's going to be healthy and good to go, fit to go. How good can the Raiders be? I mean, in that division, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team, and I think by a long shot, but it's an interesting division because the Chargers have had talent, and now they have a new quarterback in their youngster in Justin Herbert. Maybe Tyrod Taylor begins the season at the starting quarterback position, but at some point Herbert gets in there. The Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders, have been kind of on a rebuild under Gruden the last couple of years. And last year they were 6-4 at one point of the season before crashing by the end of the year. Can they be much better this year? Last year's draft was very good for Gruden and Mayock. We'll see what this year's draft shows for Gruden and Mayock. And then the Denver Broncos, who have assembled a lot of really good talent around their offense, despite being a defensive-heavy team for years. You know, the Broncos now have Drew Lock at quarterback and Philip Lindsay and a number of guys, Jerry Jeudy that they drafted, and they have their starting tight end and a really good running back, and they signed Melvin Gordon. They have a bunch of young talent to really push ahead as an offensive team as their strength if they can kind of all put it together. So the division's really interesting. I don't know if there's anybody that can challenge the Chiefs for the West crown, but I think that they're all, the other three teams are trying to establish their own identities and become a contender in the division and become the team to move into that number two slot. Mraz, if you looked at the AFC West right now and we assume that Ruggs is going to be okay for the Raiders, who would you say is the second best team of the AFC West?
I guess I would go Denver. I know that's really hard to fathom because you have to really put your faith in Drew Lock, but I still like their defense. It's not the Super Bowl defense. I think they did enough around them offensively. They played good late in the year, and as much as the Raiders fiddled around a bunch and were in the postseason up until late November, at least that hunt, I don't know. I think the move to Vegas here, the lack of total faith in Derek Carr, mind you, they did bring in Marcus Mariota as well. I don't love the look of the Raiders right now. I would go Denver as team number two for me.
So this is a tough question because I actually think the best supporting cast, the best roster in the division aside from Kansas City is the Chargers. I think they've got great pass rush. They have proven to be able to move the football on the ground. They just re-signed Austin Eckler. They've got decent wide receivers, and they've got a defense that has good young players, not only on the front seven, but also on the back end as well in the defensive secondary. So I think they've got the second best roster in the division, but I just don't know about their quarterback.
Right.
I mean, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert, it's a huge question mark. So I'm really hesitant to make the Chargers my second best team because who knows at QB, but I would say the same thing about the Broncos as well. And we know just as much about Drew Lock as we know about Justin Herbert. Almost nothing. I mean, okay, Locke has a few games with the NFL.
But yeah, I mean, he's got the reps.
But we need so much more out of Drew Locke to believe that he is a steady, good young quarterback. I mean, at least Herbert is a top 10 pick, whereas, you know, Drew Locke was a second rounder for a reason.
Yeah, but we also don't know that Herbert's going to play right away. It feels like this is going to be Tyrod Taylor for a bit for the Chargers, and we've seen enough of the teams led by Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I guess he did make the playoffs with the Bills that one year. By no means, when I picked the Broncos to be the second-best team, am I out here planting a John Elway flag and telling you this is Denver's year to return to the playoffs? I mean, the second-best team in this division is probably 8-8 at best. I mean, this seems very clear to me. You run to the bank that the Chiefs are going to win the division. I can't put my faith in the Chargers without knowing what's going on at quarterback. At least I know who the quarterback is of the Denver Broncos here this year. And, look, the Raiders are going to be right there, second, third-best team, but I have a weird, icky feeling about the Raiders in Vegas this year and what end is up and what's going on and who's playing quarterback as well that – I mean, to me, that should be more of a consensus answer. It's interesting you're going with the Chargers as a roster and I'm going with the Broncos. But, yeah, give me Denver. Give me Chargers for fourth, Raiders for third.
I don't think the Raiders could be the second-best roster in this division because they've just ripped it apart so much and started from the ground up. And so everything is a rebuild. Every position is a reboot. So I think the Raiders still need a couple of more years of good drafts to get to the point where you say they've got pass rushers like the Chargers do, or that they have the offensive weapons like the Broncos do. They need more talent in there. So I can't make the Raiders my second best pick, but I'm surprised that you think that moving to Vegas could have a poor effect on them. Last year, they went 5-3 at home. And of course, that was the swan song to the Oakland Coliseum. I would imagine, though, that playing in a new stadium, now who knows, maybe playing in a new stadium with no fans has no effect whatsoever. But I would, you know, usually you move in a new building and you have this kind of gleaming palace, brand new facilities around you coming from the dump that was Oakland. I would think that at home, they would be pretty good.
But you're dealing with a move for all of these guys are going to be living in a new residence at all. It's not like they're going back to their homes in Oakland. On top of the new move, you're dealing with the pandemic and everything that went into switching locations to get yourself ready in Vegas in the midst of everything that's gone on. And then you throw in the fact that for a lot of these guys, it will be their first professional year with no veteran leadership that's already been there in Vegas to deal with the distractions of, you know, being in Vegas. So how do I know that the focus is fully going to be there for a Raider team kind of jumping in like, ooh, we get to play in Vegas, and they're not out playing blackjack or craps every night and then showing up for practice the next day? I've always thought that about the move to Vegas. I think long-term it'll work. I think long-term fans will be into it just like they are with the Golden Knights. It's a little different to keep players on track since they're playing constantly on weeknights, such and such. To play once a week and ask Raider players, again, with nobody ever playing in Vegas before, to stay focused, these young men, I have a hard time thinking the Raiders are going to deal with Vegas properly in year one.
Interesting, because, you know, you talk about being at the blackjack's table or the casinos. Those things might not be available to anybody this fall.
It's true. That's true. But I believe I read that the Vegas casino floors are opening up next week.
Is that right? A little road trip to Sin City?
I don't know about that. I don't think you're getting the pool parties or, like, the shows and all of that, but I think you could go there. I've seen, like, pictures, Ravel's tweet, of, like, poker tables with, like, plastic stanchions in between people. So I think you're going to be allowed to, if I read this correctly, be allowed to hit the Vegas casinos, like MGM and all there. They are opening up their casino floors as early as next week, so there will be plenty of gambling available for these guys.
So with this division, it's everybody playing catch-up here to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me ask you, if you had to buy stock on somebody else, let me just add one more note of why I think the Chargers aren't as bad as people might think they are. Last year, their point differential was a -8. They went 5-11. Did you know that the Texans were -7, won the division at 10-6? So being -8, which is right around a 0 point differential, you score as many points as you gave up, is not bad. Being 5-11 means you lost a lot of close games, and the Texans won a lot of close games and had a negative point differential despite going 10-6. So they're not that far if you compare that to, say, the Raiders, who were outscored by 106 points last year. Their losses were bad losses. So, number two, if you're going to buy stock in other teams in the division, okay, so this is the, let's just say that the Chiefs offense is the best unit in the AFC West for the next decade. It's hard to imagine otherwise, okay? Would you buy stock on the Broncos offense with all these young draft picks that Elway's assembled? Would you buy stock on the Raiders offense, trusting John Gruden to figure it out? Or would you trust the Chargers offense that Justin Herbert is going to be the answer in Los Angeles?
I have to, by default, pick the Chargers offense long term, because I was waving the flag for Justin Herbert a year ago to come out. I wanted the Giants to have him as their quarterback a year ago when it ended up being Daniel Jones. And I still believed in Justin Herbert coming out here, and I think he will be a really good quarterback. I just question the learning curve and how quickly he will get on the field this year. So long-term, 10 years, I will take the Charger offense.
That's interesting, because I would take the Broncos offense.
We're totally flopped.
Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable.
Because I really like every position that they have on offense besides the line. Except I just don't know about Drew Lock. But what I do know is that Philip Lindsay's an excellent running back, and they just signed Melvin Gordon. I don't know how much football Melvin Gordon has left, but as a number two back, great. But I really like Philip Lindsay. At wide receiver, I really like Courtland Sutton, and I really like Jerry Jeudy. And at tight end, I like Noah Fant as well. So you've given me two starting wide receivers, a starting tight end, and a starting running back, all in their first, second, or third years. All of those guys, to me, are a better set of talent than any other team has right now in the AFC West that we know of. Now, we'll see about the Raiders' young players. Obviously, they seem to find a franchise running back last year, which is good. I think that Henry Ruggs is going to be good as well. But we've got to see it kind of come together. Aside from Locke, all of those guys are phenomenal. And Jeudy, to me, was the best wide receiver in this draft. So I just love the way that they put it together. But I just don't trust Drew Locke enough right now to say that he can cover up for all of the other flaws on the Broncos team overall.
The only thing I will say to that is, when I'm taking the Broncos short term, I'm taking it based on Drew Locke looked pretty good last year in his limited time, but he got those live reps, and we don't have the live reps yet from Justin Herbert. And in my argument before that, when I took the Broncos this year, you're telling me, well, Justin Herbert's a top 10 pick, so, you know, how do you not go that Locke's the unknown? And now for the next 10 years, well, if you're not going to take Justin Herbert for the next 10 years over a Locke offense, and I know you gave the other reasons, how could you take the Chargers this year for the supporting cast and not just ride with the Broncos this year?
Because we're not just talking about offense. We're talking about defense as well. And the Chargers have perhaps the best
Denver
pass rush in football.
I mean, the Denver defense has Von freaking Miller on it. I mean, they're a pretty good defense as well.
Yes, but they don't have Joey Bosa. And the Chargers don't. The Chargers have Derwin James, and the Chargers have Melvin Ingram. Oh. When you have Bosa, Ingram, and Derwin James, you have three of the best defensive players in football. The Chargers just have a much better defense to me than the Broncos do right now. And while I don't love banking on a rookie quarterback, I think that the Chargers proved last year that they're not that far away from being a competitive football team.
They got us Derwin James and Joey Bosa, though, have to stay healthy, because those are guys who have now been banged up very much a lot here in their first couple of years. And if you're going to make a pro Charger argument, I'll go on the whole total flip side. If this pandemic continues and no fans are coming, there is no team more prepared to play 16 games without fans than the Los Angeles Chargers.
They've gotten used to it. 855-212-4CBS. If you have a Trash Tuesday, tweet at me, DA on CBS. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
In the galaxy.
Hey, DA, do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
I need a trip to outer space, man. Come aboard the mothership.
Yeah.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you being with us on a Trash Tuesday here on the DA. As always, you can watch the show at watchda.com. Also, you can watch it inside the radio.com app. Or you can catch the best of clips on YouTube every day after we're done. So go to YouTube and find the CBS Sports Radio YouTube channel. The best clips and rants and interviews and classic moments all available on YouTube every single day. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Floyd Mayweather. The champion boxer will pay for the George Floyd funeral service. Mayweather Promotion CEO Leonard Ellerbe says that Mayweather has been in contact with George Floyd's family and that they've agreed to the gesture. It is believed Mayweather has done these acts of kindness over the years as well that we don't know about, choosing not to speak publicly about them. Floyd Mayweather has gotten a lot of bad press over the years for a lot of important and significant reasons, but in this case, it's a very generous gesture by Floyd Mayweather. The player slash Team of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus over 24/7 customer support and product specialists, always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com. Obviously, it's been a tough week, been a tough number of days for a lot of people, and it continues amongst the fury and civil unrest that is going on around the country right now. Which is why I'd like to highlight the people that I appreciate most in sports. I think it's a good time to focus on some positives as well as recognize what we need to change as a country within ourselves, looking reflectively inside ourselves, looking in the mirror to ask what it is that we want to be instead of what it is that we are. So I'd like to highlight some of the people here on the show that I really appreciate. And yesterday we had Jim Murray from Boston's 98.5, the Sports Hub, who I really appreciate because he seems to have a running ticker in his head of his personal rankings of everything. This is my top five hamburger, slides it to number five. Here is my top four wing dipping sauces. Just slid into the top five, dropping number five out of it. This is my five worst closers ever. I just re-racked that today in my brain. This is a top five band out of 80s punk rock that I have just reassessed in my mind after hearing this new album. He is amazing in that way, and I loved having Jim Murray from my old home in Boston join us here on the show yesterday. If you missed that interview, I highly encourage you to do so because he has a very strong take on flats versus drummies in the wing-eating context. Today, we'll have Adam Rank join us a half hour from now. And Adam is one of my favorite people in sports. He works for NFL Network because he and I kind of share the same sense of humor. He's highly sarcastic. He also really loves nostalgic old NFL. And he just seems to be a guy that I think his humor resonates on social media. I think he makes people laugh while also being very smart about things. And he's a fantasy guru. So he kind of like fills a lot of different buckets. His versatility is pretty amazing. So he's really good at fantasy. He's got a really good sense of humor. He's a really diverse guy. He likes a lot of different things. He loves baseball as well. He's a huge Star Wars fan as well. He's a big old band guy. Like, he loves bands from the 80s and 90s. So he just has a very diverse sense of taste, which I really appreciate people like that, that are not just so one-dimensional. So we'll have Adam join us coming up here on the show about a half hour from now, and I'm sure he's going to make me laugh and hopefully make you guys laugh as well. By the way, I just want to report a big win for DA, okay? Really big win here. You remember that 2 weeks ago we did Best Team Ever, and that was all of our favorite teams and a player from our favorite teams that we grew up with, that we loved from our youth. And I had wanted to relive the 1988 Cleveland Browns, who had one of the craziest seasons in NFL history. It was right in the middle of my youth. I was 9 years old. You have Browns fans in dog masks, Halloween costumes, eating milk bones inside this cavernous Cleveland Municipal Stadium. And I just fell in love with that image and that fun and that craziness. And the guy that nicknamed the Browns fans the Dog Pound was Hanford Dixon, who was one of the best corners in the NFL of the 80s. He and Frank Minifield made one of the best cornerback tandems ever in NFL history for the 80s Cleveland Browns. Hanford Dixon was the guy that would bark at teammates and then get the fans to do it as well. The fans adopted it so much that they started wearing dog masks and bringing milk bones to the stadium, wearing them around their necks and eating them after big Browns plays. It sounds insane, but there were adults in the crowd of Browns games in the 80s eating milk bones after big plays. Hanford Dixon created that. And so I wanted to have Hanford Dixon on the show 2 weeks ago when I did this spot. Hanford Dixon happens to be a real estate broker in the greater Cleveland area. So I went to his real estate website and I went to his contact information and I filled out my information, put in my email address, put in my cell phone number. I also contacted him via DM on Twitter, reached out to him a number of times, texted him as well to see if he would come on the show. I never got a response. So we had to pivot, and I had Felix Wright on the show, who was a safety on those teams, also part of the secondary, part of the defense that helped carry those teams, and he was very, very good as well. But I really wanted Hanford Dixon on. Here's the big win. I am getting regular emails from Hanford Dixon now. Unfortunately, they're real estate emails. So every 4 or 5 days, I wake up to an email from Hanford Dixon to my personal account, and I'm really excited. Like yesterday, I had an email from Hanford Dixon. This is exciting. And the subject is just checking in. Wow, Hanford Dixon cares about me. This is amazing. And the subject of the email is, I hope you're having a great day. Wow, thanks, Hanford. I wanted to check in to see if you have any questions about real estate so far. If you see any properties you would like more information on, I'm always available and working. I'd love to support your real estate hunt in any way. Feel free to reach out at any time. This is like the third or fourth email I've gotten from Hanford Dixon on finding a house. And while I would love to have shopped for this house that I have right now with Hanford or a future house, I'm right now not in the market, especially in the Cleveland area. So I'm not sure that Hanford can help me out here. And obviously these are stock emails for everybody in their system that they just send out from every account. So I got to say, Mraz, while we didn't get Hanford Dixon on the show, I feel really special that I'm getting consistent emails from him to support me in my real estate needs.
So we have a similar story, DA, to this now that I'm getting, and I wanted to bring this up as well. I am now getting, I would say, almost every other day, an email from Larry Zonka. Because when Don Shula passed, I reached out to Larry Zonka through his website as well.
Yeah.
And just last week when I got an email from Larry Zonka, it was labeled hello. And I opened up the email, said, all right, Larry Zonka, you know what? Never too late to have Larry Zonka on the show. No, it's just through whatever company he's having, and I'm getting constant updates. I think it's like a construction company or something. And almost every other day, I'm getting a Larry Zonka email titled, hello. So hello, Larry Zonka. How are you? So we are learning, while we may not be great at booking guests on the show, we are certainly great on getting on their newsletter emails.
I love it. You know, you want to know where the show that's most connected to the athletes you care about is? It's right here. We're getting construction emails from Larry Zonka and real estate emails from Hanford Dixon. We are in the know. We've got these guys' ears. We can get them on at any time.
I think I'm just going to respond. Are you hurt by this? Because I'm a sucker for any kind of affirmation. So like, if I get an email that's labeled like that, I'm like, oh, they do care. Or even like when my phone rings and it's a number that I don't recognize, but it looks like a real number, I'm like, this is going to be a good phone call. Maybe somebody's calling with an opportunity. Maybe somebody needs a high school game broadcasted somewhere, and it ends up being like the Chinese, you know, those new robocalls where it's like the Chinese embassy asking you for help in Chinese. And I get let down. I get heartbroken that no one loves me. At least you guys seem to take it in stride and just move on. These things hurt me a little bit every time they happen.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying knowing that I'm getting an email from Hanford Dixon every 4 days that he doesn't even know I exist. I'm really just loving, like, oh, cool. Got an email from one of my favorite players growing up. I'm loving this.
Yeah, I definitely laugh, but I would be lying if I told you the first Larry Zonka email, my immediate reaction before clicking open was, let's go. I literally just said to myself, let's go. Because I thought we were laying a guest off the glass.
Larry.
Let's go, Larry. Let's go. What day
Follow
are we doing?
Through this hole.
Oh, you don't want to come on the show.
I mean, how about me? In the middle of this kind of craziness everywhere going on in the world, especially here in the States, I wake up to an email from one of my favorite players growing up that says, how are you doing? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. He actually cares about how I'm doing right now.
That's right.
Yeah. No.
That's a rough subject line. You're right.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Hope you're doing well. How are you right now? I'm doing well. Oh, right. It's a stock email looking to see if I want to buy land in East Cleveland. Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm good. So standing by with our headlines this morning is Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. These ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance presents Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. DA, it has been one of sports' biggest mysteries for weeks now. Right there alongside, will baseball figure this out? Who's going to sign Cam Newton? And then, of course, what will Rob Gronkowski do with his WWE 24/7 belt now that he's a football player again? We finally got our answer last night on Raw. Gronk was there minding his own business, trying to film a TikTok video when he was savagely attacked by R-Truth. If I'm saying that wrong, Pete, you can correct me.
R-Truth.
Gronk had warned. Oh, R-Truth. R-Truth. Now I get it. R-Truth last week was warned to leave Gronk alone. He didn't leave Gronk alone, and Gronk couldn't make him leave him alone last night. So now R-Truth is the WWE 24/7 champ. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, Gronk was the longest running 24/7 champ. And now that illustrious run with that belt is now over.
Right. And the belt is less than a year old. So take it for what it's worth.
How many belts, by the way, are there? Because when I loved wrestling as a kid, there were three. You were the heavy, you know, you were the champion, you were the intercontinental champ, and there was the tag team belt.
Yeah.
Now I feel like there's a belt for every day of the week.
But yeah. I think the best way to describe it is there's three for each brand they have.
Three for each brand?
Okay.
How many brands
how many
they
brands
have?
Are there? 34?
off the top of my head, four brands.
Wow, so they have 12 belts?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is like the Major League Baseball's expanded postseason. You know, back in the day, we only had to know the National League West, the American League East. There was only four teams that made the playoffs. That's it. Everybody else is out. Now, expanded playoffs, everybody is in. Three wild cards. Bring them all in. 12 belts in WWE? What about AEW? How many belts they got cooking?
They have three belts cooking.
Okay.
Actually, four belts cooking.
All right, so that's a little bit more reasonable, a little bit more attainable. It creates a certain, it's kind of like the college football Final Four. You don't want to let everybody in. You got to be legitimate. So feels to me that AEW has a more legitimate champion. Is that fair?
They value the belts more, which I think is a better philosophy as far as I'm concerned. Four belts, three belts, I think that's enough for me.
Huh.
Okay. All right, now this is interesting.
But I will say this.
Where does Taz fall on this, do you think, here, Pete? Because Taz is aligned now with AEW. Do you think he likes fewer belts so that there's more sanctity within the belts?
I would say fewer belts. He's also managing again. He's managing the wrestler that's challenging for the world title in AEW.
Really? Oh, yes. Okay. What wrestler is that?
Brian Cage. He just started in AEW.
He's managing Brian Cage.
Yes. And his client is fighting for the title at their next event.
Okay. This is good to know. What's wrong? Why are you groaning like that? Like you just ate an oatmeal cookie?
Because I don't want to do this today and talk about this, but I will have to say this. What do you mean he's managing him? Like AEW's writing in if Brian Cage is winning or not. What is Taz doing managing him exactly?
I would avoid
teaching him moves. Like what does that even mean?
I would avoid saying something, Sean, because Brian Cage's leg is about the size of you.
Nor Taz is listening right now, look, so I think Sean's in a safe zone.
Time out, but see, that shouldn't be what we jump to here. Is Brian Cage a tougher individual than me that could smush me like a bug? I've never seen him. My assumption is yes. Could Taz put me in a chokehold and basically, you know, give me a stone cold stunner? Absolutely he could. I didn't choose the field of fake wrestling, though. Ultimately, their careers, my point is, are still scripted for them. And the idea that you need a manager to manage what? What are you managing? I need to know what you're managing. It's not like you need a real coach. This isn't somebody, a hitting coach in Major League Baseball. What are you managing in wrestling, Pete? What are you managing?
It's a show. Sometimes managers are put with certain wrestlers that probably can't speak for themselves on their own in terms of their promos.
Okay, there's an answer. So you need somebody to speak for him. So how charismatic a star is he really, this Brian Cage? I don't know, but I'm just tired of the whole shtick with the wrestling.
Okay, so if I went back to my wrestling days, which is basically in my prepubescent, pre-adolescent years in the 80s, this is kind of like a manager would be like Mr. Fuji or Jimmy the Mouth from the South?
Yes, exactly. And they would manage wrestlers that really didn't speak for themselves.
Like who managed The Undertaker? Remember that?
That was Paul Bearer.
Oh, okay.
That's an easy one to remember.
Okay. So Taz is the Paul Bearer of Johnny Cage.
Right.
Brian Cage.
In a way, yes.
Brian Cage. Johnny Cage was from Mortal Kombat.
Correct. Finish it.
Same difference.
So Moose ended up with Maggie and Taz ended up with Brian Cage.
I can guarantee that Taz does not like the comparison of being Paul Bearer to Johnny Cage. Okay,
no.
But this is good to know. So managing means you're kind of
the mouthpiece.
mouthpiece, hype man also?
Yeah, yeah. He's your best friend, basically.
Okay, that's valuable to me. Because also, wouldn't you say, Pete, that a really good manager that can command attention, that has some celebrity, could get better roles for his wrestler?
Could put him out there. Yeah, exactly. A lot of the big managers would do that, would make wrestlers that essentially weren't the best, brought them up to a next level.
Yeah, because then they're...
The Federation makes them. Taz is an AWC's Brian Cage is. They're not making him better because Taz is with him.
Yeah, but the fans pay.
DA does this all the time. DA knows that if he takes the exact opposite take to me when it comes to anything wrestling related and plays this serious card to Pete. No, absolutely. Absolutely they do. He knows it's going to bother me and actually frustrate me for the rest of the day. I am a huge troll. I understand that on Twitter. I will troll the heck out of people. When it comes to wrestling takes on this show, DA is the biggest troll to me when he takes this down the line serious approach and siding with Pete. It is. I'm not taking the bait anymore. I refuse. I'm swimming away.
Okay, look, you don't have to take the bait, but here's my point that I think I align with Pete on. And that is that wrestling, it appears to me from the outside, is driven by fan interest in specific wrestlers.
Exactly.
If they like you, if they find you interesting, then your roles, your storylines are going to be enhanced and you'll kind of get pushed up with the story writing to title belts, title fights, bigger events. And your manager could make you far more interesting. So if Taz is a really intriguing personality, which he definitely was in his wrestling days, he has a really big voice and a really big persona and has a lot of followers, that could make his client, his wrestler, Brian Cage of this instance, more notable, have more notoriety, and push him up the ladder. So I do think there's a value there. It sounds like to me, just listening to Pete.
That's the name of the game. That's the name of wrestling.
My counterpoint would be wrestling or AEW views Brian Cage as that, and they want the fans to love him, so they put Taz with him as a manager.
I don't know how that works. Does he hire Taz, or does the Federation put Taz as his manager?
It's a combination. And the AEW is a little more of a combination. WWE is more of the promoter will put it together. But yeah, I mean, Taz has a lot of input in it from what I gather, you know, input into what he does. And that's what you really want in wrestling. And they're only going to build around guys that are going to be popular with the fans. If they're not popular, they're not in the main storylines.
I mean, also, couldn't it be that he's a bit of an acting coach as well, that he helps you develop roles and personalities and what you should say in this interview or this instance? I mean, that is a big part of the showmanship of wrestling. Couldn't Taz help there too?
Of course, yeah. Taz is a big personality. He was a very popular wrestler when he was in the ring and before he got into radio, he was extremely popular. So, and fans love him. So that's a big thing for Brian Cage.
I think Merez is dismissing the reality of the situation here. Bogues, you got something to say about this?
I just want to know if Taz has fallen asleep walking Brian Cage to the ring yet. If he's if he's breaking up with Moose, has he now fallen asleep on his way to the ring, walking over Brian Cage's shoulder? No, nothing?
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Did we even get headlines from Bogues?
We didn't do one real sports headline, but nothing really is happening.
I wanted to check to make sure I didn't miss that.
Yeah, no, it was wrestling, bad joke, and now stunned to a news. And I believe this is a record-setting stun because our good friend Grimes is back.
Oh!
Which makes her, I think, the first three-time stunned participant. She is Elon Musk's partner, and they are the worst baby namers on the globe. But this one is just about Grimes, who, again, is, I guess, technically an artist and a musician when she's not naming her kids letters and numbers and Roman numerals. So she has an art exhibit that just opened, and the main piece of art, using air quotes in this exhibit, is a basically the deed to her soul, which you can buy a part of for $10 million.
Yes! Yes!
So selling her soul is obviously supposed to be an artistic expression here, and the assumption is no one will pay it, so they set the price super-duper high. But technically for $10 million, if you wanted to, you could buy a piece of Grimes' soul.
No, not a piece of it. You get to buy the entire soul there.
No, I think it's only a portion. She's got to keep some for herself, I believe, to be able to trade it for other things. But you can buy a piece of her soul for $10 million.
Well, that's a bad deal. I got to get the whole soul for $10 million. If I'm going to throw $10 million out there, I got to get the whole soul.
Oh, the last person to buy a soul was Bon Jovi.
I absolutely love this move by Grimes. I'm not in favor of Grimes's naming of the baby. I'm not in favor of everything that's gone on with the naming of this child, but I love this move. If you can find a sucker to spend $10 million or 1 cent on buying your soul, it's a win. Now, maybe she might have put this price too high for anybody to actually bid on it, but what she says is, I didn't want anybody to buy it, so I said we should just make it $10 million, and then it probably won't sell. She thinks there's a chance that it might sell. Imagine she gets $10 million for her soul. That's a great price for her, and for the sucker that bought it, it's just flushing it down the toilet. Oh, I bought Grimes' soul. It's amazing. You got to see this on the wall right now. I even got the contract is right here and everything. I got her soul. If this doofus spends $5 on the soul, it's a win by the person that sold the soul. I mean, Mraz, what would you sell your soul for?
You could probably bring in 12 Krispy Kremes to me right now. You want my soul? You can have it.
If I replaced
your pool,
if I replaced your Kona seltzers, would you sell me your soul?
I feel like I sold you my soul 7 years ago. So yes, I would.
That's true. Right around April of 2013 was the official selling of the soul. This to me is a great deal, and I think Grimes has stumbled upon something. It's kind of like Cameo. We go online and you scroll through people's prices for how much it costs for a shout out through a cell phone video. We should just have a Cameo for souls, celebrity souls. How much of this soul? How much of this soul? And then if you're the idiot that pays for it, you know, God bless. Like Bogues, how much would you put your soul on Cameo for? Soulio.
Yeah, I mean, 10 mil sounds pretty good, right? I mean, I can't really give you my soul. So whatever you're giving me for it is profit. So I'll take 10 mil. I can be bought.
I mean, to me, I might take $100. If I make $100 off you because you quote unquote bought my soul, great. I'm $100 richer. I'll just keep selling it on Soulio. You get $100 worth of my soul. You get $100 worth of my soul. Everybody, take a piece of it. It's like the Green Bay Packers. Own my soul in perpetuity, and there's like 7,000 shares of it.
Bilotti's going
to
own all our souls.
Go to break before Pete takes your soul.
If you tuned in for any reasonable amount of sports over the last 25 minutes, we have failed you greatly.
Weeks.
When we come back here on the... when we come back here on the show, the Clemson Tigers offense is down a big weapon. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Damon Amendola.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Tough break for the Clemson Tigers. Wide receiver Justin Ross is going to miss the entire season. Neck and spinal issue. Congenital fusion condition of his neck. They originally thought it was just a stinger back in March during spring practice. Crazy to think about actually holding spring practice back in March, isn't it? But yes, there was football being played on college campuses and at facilities back in March, and that's when Ross suffered a stinger. And they found out that over the course of the last few months, trying to do tests on it, what have you, that he has a condition that he was born with that will require surgery. And so it's a scary situation. Hopefully he's able to still have a career because Justin Ross had huge prospects in the NFL. He was, as a freshman, a dynamic playmaker for the Clemson Tigers. He was a guy that became just an incredible weapon amongst a series, a galaxy of weapons that Clemson has used over the last couple of years to win national championships. And he had 66 catches last year for nearly 900 yards and 8 touchdowns and hit a breakout performance in the playoffs where he's catching one-handed passes, and he just was absolutely phenomenal. And you have to wonder if Justin Ross is going to be able to play football at the next level. I hope that he is. He's definitely going to miss this upcoming season. The hope is that he can come back for 2021 and then, of course, enter the NFL draft. But that's a ways away. Many, many thoughts to Justin Ross because that's a scary condition. Hopefully he can play football again and live okay with that condition. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, 15% credit car and motorcycle policies that last your full policy term. Geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.